Amen. If you take your Bibles this evening, continue on studying through Esther, Esther chapter number 2. And you look at verse number 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to jump over to verse number 8 this evening. So Esther chapter 2, we're going to read again verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to jump over to verse number 8. So Esther 2 verse 1. 2 weeks ago when we were looking here in Esther, we're kind of looking at how a privilege it is for us Gentiles to be able to get in and serve a Jewish king. But here in Esther, you have a Jewish, going to be a Jewish queen coming to a Gentile king. So the Bible says here in Esther chapter 2, verse number 1, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered to him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hegi, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And then let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Two things there in verse number 3 that we're going to look over at verse number 8 as well, where it talks about that these women that were brought, it says there right in the middle of that verse, they were brought unto the custody of Hegi, and that everything was given to them for their purification. And what was given them for their purification would hopefully then make them pleasing in the eyes of the king. Look over at verse number 8. It says, so it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her, and 7 maidens, which were meet to be given her, out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for your mercy and grace, dear God. Thank you, Lord, that we could sing out to you tonight with these voices that you've given us. And Lord, we just glorify you. And Lord, we ask for your help now, dear God. Please clear my thoughts. And Lord, clear our hearts and minds, dear God, to be able to receive what your Holy Spirit would teach us this evening. Lord, that we may apply it, dear God, and walk closer with you. So we ask for your help now in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want to real quick look at Romans chapter 11, if you flip over there for a moment, and just close with what I was talking about 2 weeks ago about the privilege it is as us Gentiles being able to get in on what the Jews have. What a blessing it is. And may we never forget that though we're saved now and we're in the body of Christ, us Gentiles, it is a privilege to be able to get in with what the Jews had. And may we not take it for granted. So if you take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 10 real quick. Romans 10 verse number 1. Romans 10 verse 1. The Bible says here, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Jump down to verse number 19, same chapter. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So the Jews rejected their Messiah, and thankfully Jesus and salvation came over to the Gentiles. But God's not done with the Jews yet. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says here, it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Right there, you think that would be enough for the gainsayers that are out there to say that God is done with Israel. Brethren, I was talking to somebody about this week. Brethren, all you have to do is read your Bible and you'll realize that God's not done with Israel. You know, I've dealt with people before and I said, have you read Isaiah or have you read Zechariah or have you read Ezekiel or Jeremiah? And their answer was no. Well, how then are you going to tell me about God being done with Israel if you haven't even read those books of the Bible? Okay? God established an everlasting covenant with that nation, and God will fulfill that everlasting covenant with Israel. When you go through Romans chapter 11, and we're not going to study through this tonight, but this is not dealing with individuals, this is dealing with nations, Israel and Gentiles. Jump down to verse number 11 of Romans chapter 11. Look what the Bible says here. It says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall, referring to Israel. Again, you get God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. For what purpose? For to provoke them, who? The Jews, to jealousy. Brother, I'm going to pause right there for a moment. That's why it's so important for you to live holy before God. Brethren, it would be a shame to run across a Jew who's living more holy than a Christian. We're to provoke them to jealousy, not the other way around. And if you start doing a little bit of studying on what's going on over there in Israel, you got a group of people over there in Israel now that are Jews that if you look at them, they almost look like independent Baptists. The women wear dresses, everybody dresses modestly, and they're getting set up. They're the ones I think they're going to be taken out there into the wilderness and God's going to save them. You got a remnant over there in Israel that's going back, and if you wouldn't know no different, you would think they were independent Baptists. The way they live, the standards they have, the convictions they got, and you would look at them and say, oh, they're probably one of us. And then you look and no, they're Jewish. So the Bible says here that, listen, we got in on this thing, not to just then go sit on the bench and ride this thing out. God let the Gentiles get on it, in on it, for the purpose of to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Because when you got a Gentile that is living holier than a Jew, the Jew, you're going to make them scratch their head saying, why are you doing better than I'm doing? I'm the one that's got the true God. I'm the one that should be teaching you. But it's a shame today that a lot of Baptists or saved individuals are provoking the Jew to jealousy. Verse number 12. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation, that means jealousy or rivalry, them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Again, God is gonna bring the Israelite back in again and deal with his people. For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so also the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, the Gentile, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Brethren, any Gentile that's going to get lifted up against a Jew, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Boast not against the branches. Because listen, it's not us holding ourselves, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing that us Gentiles that we've done to merit the goodness and graciousness of God. It's all Jesus Christ and his mercy, for his mercy endureth forever. I'm thankful tonight that Jesus Christ passed by my way as a Gentile. Living here in the United States of America, I'm not even over there in Israel. Yet God saw fit to let us get in on this thing. So why should I boast, especially against them, the Jew? Verse number 19. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now he's talking to Gentiles as a whole. This is not individuals where you lose your salvation. I think the times of the Gentiles, look, we're getting real close to where God's going to be done with the Gentiles. It's back to the Jews again. It's about there. Verse number 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. If thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. You see that? It says there, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. All right, so someday, and we got other verses we can look at with that, but I'm not going to take my time to go into that. Just realize that it's a blessing for us this evening as Gentiles to get in on this thing. Now, if you look back over at Esther, and we read there in chapter 2, we jumped over to verse number 8, and we read there in verse number 8 that all these women, including Esther, were brought into the custody of a man named Hegai. Now, to me, as you read through this, Hegai is a perfect picture of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And Esther's a perfect picture of a believer or a Christian. You see, she is brought into the custody of Hegai. Look, Esther is no longer her own. She has now been brought into the custody of the king, and now into the custody of one of his chamberlains named Hegai. Now, Hegai, his name means this. It means meditation, word, or groaning, or separation. All of these things in which the Holy Ghost should help us do if he dwells in our life. Listen, the Holy Spirit should work in your life to separate you from this world and to separate you closer to Jesus Christ. Now, the word custody, it means to keep or guard with care, watch, inspection, preservation, or security. Brethren, those are all the things we find when we get saved. We are secure in Jesus Christ. We are preserved to the day of redemption. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. All of which Hegai does. She's now in his custody. She is in the custody of Hegai. Take your Bible, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And look at verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 21. Bible says, now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us in is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Do you see what the Bible says there? It says in verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Do you have I said it Sunday morning, do you have the earnest of the Spirit in your heart? You see, it's by that earnest of the Spirit that you know that you're saved, that not only that you know God, but that God also knows you. And I'm glad this evening that it's God that does the sealing and not me myself. I'm not the one that does the sealing. When you get saved, God seals you and gives you the earnest of the Spirit in your heart. The word seal means to set or fix a seal. It means to shut or close, to keep close, to make fast, to keep secure. And you know what earnest money is? When you go to buy a house, you put earnest money down. And what you're saying is, here's this money. I'm coming back with a full amount soon, but I'm putting this earnest money down to say that I want it and I'm coming back for it. earnest money. God has given us the spirit to say, someday I'm coming back, they're mine, and I'm going to redeem them from this planet. Here's the earnest. Here's the Holy Spirit, that they're mine, they've been sealed. I ain't taking them home to heaven yet, but I'm coming back for them someday. Thank the Lord God for that. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1. The earnest of the spirit in the heart. Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse number 12. Ephesians 1, verse 12. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we're given, listen, he's given to us in our heart as earnest that someday the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to get what is his. Take your Bible. Lastly, let's look over here at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And look at verse number 4. Galatians 4, 4. Look what the Bible says here. Galatians 4, 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, where? Into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Have you got to a point in your life to where you cried out like that? Amen. There should be at some point, if you've been saved for any amount of time, to where your heart's heavy and you cry out to the Lord, Abba, Father. Lord, just help me, God, help me. And somehow, by the Spirit of God, you know the Lord hears you, that you know you're his and that he's yours. Now look, I'm not going charismatic on you, and I'm not talking about auto voices and all that, but within your spirit, you know that you're a child of God and he's hearing you. Look, I don't know about you, but there's also been times in my life where I've cried out to God, and like it says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, listen, there's no words to it. Brethren, I'm so thankful to see this evening. Look, listen, there's times where things can be so heavy on your heart, and all it comes out is tears, but God knows exactly what's going on in your heart, and you don't have to speak a word. He knows what's going on there, and he can meet your need, and I'm thankful for that this evening. I'm thankful for that verse in the Bible in the book of Romans. With groanings which cannot be uttered, where it's so heavy upon your heart, you just got, the tears are coming down, and the Lord knows exactly what's going on, and he's there to meet the needs of the heart. Look what the Bible says here in Romans or Galatians 4, 6. It says, crying, Abba, Father. You know why? Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and of a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it then? When ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Paul's telling the church there, he says, listen, why are you going back to the things that kept you in bondage? When you are now joint heirs, you are now heirs with the Son, of an inheritance eternal in heaven. Why turn ye again to the beggarly elements? But I like also what it says there in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. There's a lot of people that say they know God, but the question is not that you know God, but rather that he knows you. Amen. Yes. See that verse there? Look what it says. But now after that ye have known God. That's good. That's good to know God. But the next part says, or rather, known of God. Right? So he guy is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God, and he's helping Esther. She's now under his custody. She's now under his protection. She's now under his guidance. She's now under his preservation. Listen, he's the one now that's going to lead, guide, and direct her for her purification before she comes in before the king. She's now under his guidance. And if she wants to do those things that will be pleasing to the king, if she's in her right mind and has the right sense about her, she'll look at Hegai, because he's the king's chamberlain. She'll go off of what he says and then take what he says, because he's got an insight that she doesn't have about the king. And listen, the Holy Spirit's part of the Godhead. And listen, we ought to go off of what the Holy Spirit directs rather than our own thinking and our own thoughts, because the Holy Spirit knows better than we know about what pleases the king. All right? It's not our imaginations. It's not our thoughts. It's not, well, I think this, but what does the Bible say? Right? So as the Holy Spirit teaches, guides, and directs, the whole, look, and we're not going to look at the scriptures with it tonight, but the Holy Spirit always reflects all glory and honor to Jesus Christ. So any church that goes in and starts magnifying the Holy Spirit, you're going down the wrong road. Because the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is going to direct everything to Jesus. So as the Holy Spirit works in your life, he's directing you to Jesus. Does it make sense? And it's the same thing that Hegai does. These women are brought into his custody, and he's going to give them things out of the king's house. He has access to the king's house. And he has insight. He's been doing this for a while. He knows what the king likes. And we're going to find out as we read through this that Esther, in her right mind, and the way she's been brought up by Mordecai, she heeds the Hegai, and she gets a special insight of what the king likes, and she's going to become queen because of it. Now look, she's now in his custody, and we're now, if we're saved, we're now in the custody of the Holy Spirit. Take your Bible, stay there in Galatians, look over real quick at chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, and look at verse number 16. Look what the Bible says here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Jump down to verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Which shows me, brethren, that we have the ability to walk contrary to the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is a gentleman, just like the Lord Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything against your will. Okay? And I love that's how God works. I'm glad that we serve a God that's not going to force you to do something against your own will. He's going to let you choose. And it's the same way in any type of relationship that's close. If you have any close relationship in your life, it's because each of you have chosen to be friends or close to one another. And that's a blessing. That's what creates close friendships, is because each chooses to be there. And see, God desires for us to want to choose to love him and choose to be directed by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. He's not going to force us to do that. He'll let you walk after the flesh if you want to walk after the flesh, but it's going to be to your detriment and to your destruction. Now, go back here to Esther. And as we look here, look back here at Esther chapter number 2 and verse number 9 now. Look at verse number 9. Esther chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says, and the maiden, this is referring to Esther. It says, and the maiden pleased him. Who? Hegai. And she obtained kindness of him. Who? Hegai. And he speedily gave her her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And look at this. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. First thing here. The first thing I want to look at here in verse number 9, as was also mentioned back in chapter 2, verse number 3, that all of these women are here for one purpose and one purpose only, purification. they are here in the custody of Hegai to be purified. And this purification process is going to take about 12 months, a year. And this purification process is all for them to get ready to appear before the king. And it's the same thing going on with us today down here. We're here, we've been sanctified, we've been set apart by the Holy Spirit of God, our spirit's been saved, born again of God, but we still got this flesh, and we still have the ability to purify ourselves before we're called home to heaven someday. Take your Bible and look at 1 John chapter 3. Purification, the act of purifying. You see, brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ desires for us to work out our purity and holiness in our lives today. Look at 1 John chapter number 3. Again, very familiar portion with all of us in here tonight. Think 1 John chapter 3 and look what the Bible says here. 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now for any Christian to step back and say, well, see, I'm good, I got saved, my spirit's been born again of God, I'm a new creature, old things passed away, behold, all things become new, I can just ride this thing out till he appears, I see him, and I'll be like him. That's fine and good. But look at verse number 3. And every man that hath this hope in him, what, of the Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ returning to take us home, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You know what God desires for each of our lives till he calls us home is to purify us. The act of purification. What? To become more holy than we were yesterday. To become more godly than we were yesterday. To be more what he desires for us to be than we were yesterday. God doesn't just save us and then us coast on out till we get home to heaven. No, he desires to purify us so that we grow into the image or become like the image of Jesus Christ. What he desires is for us to get to a point or strive to get to the point of we're acting every day more like his son, not more like us. To be more like Jesus Christ in this flesh. Because brethren, we now have the ability to bring this flesh into subjection and to walk in the spirit, just like Jesus Christ. Now, don't confuse me now this evening and go out here and think that I'm teaching to where you can be sinlessly perfect. I believe to the day you get called home, you're going to be striving towards that thing. And where the devil will mess with your mind, I think it was Ironside that had, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was him that had, he got so messed up in his mind because he was striving every day to live every day perfect and be sinlessly perfect. And it about drove him crazy because the more he strived, the more he realized, I can't do it. And I think it put him in a mental hospital. I think it was Ironside. Was it Ironside? It was. All right. Because he got in his mind that I can achieve this state of sinless perfection. You'll go crazy trying to do that. But then you don't go off to the other side, well, since I can't try to be this, then why even strive? No. Every day you wake up and you strive to live closer to Jesus Christ. Brethren, there's things that God will allow a newborn babe in Christ, he'll allow in their life, but he won't allow in a 5-year-old or 10-year-old Christian's life. There might be things that happen when you first were saved and the Lord looked at you as a young babe in Christ and he's like, yeah, you'll come along. But brethren, just like with our own children or kids, you don't want a 15-year-old acting like a 5-year-old. Brethren, imagine if you had a normal 15-year-old and all of a sudden next day he's acting like a 2- or 3-year-old. You would think something's wrong and you would take them to the doctor. You would be like, something's wrong with my son or daughter. They're 15, but all of a sudden they woke up this morning and they're acting like they're 2 or 3 again. And doc, I don't know what's going on. Because you expect a 15-year-old to act like a 15-year-old. And you expect a 2-year-old to act like a 2-year-old. So if you've got somebody who's been saved 30 or 40 years, you don't expect them to act like they're 10 or 5 or 10 years old. They should be further along in their Christian walk than somebody who's only been saved 2 or 3 years. Because they should be doing what 1 John 3 verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. Now, take your Bible, look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 7 and look at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, purification. You know, one of the definitions of purification means removing any pollution or defilement. Removing any pollution or defilement. These ladies, these young fair virgins were in the custody of Hegai for the removal of any pollution or defilement. You got to think about this. All these young virgins, they coming from all over the world, basically. All from different cultures, from different peoples, from different raisins. And they're coming into the presence of Hegai, and you can imagine what's coming into his presence. What he's taking custody of. Just think about it today. Think about if you were to gather together young ladies from Brazil, and then some young ladies from Colombia, and some young ladies from Iran, and from Mongolia, and from China, and from Canada, and from Mexico, and you're bringing them all in. It's going to take a while to get them into the right way they should act in the presence of a king. What we got to think here now. Think of all those nations I just said, and they were to be brought eventually after a year into the presence of King Charles. It would take, with some, probably longer than a year to get them to learn how they need to act in the presence of royalty. Brethren, it would take some of us a year to learn all the proper things that's dealt with royalty. Just using England as an example. There's certain clothes that those women over there, they're only allowed to wear at certain times, and there's all kinds of dress codes and how you eat and when you meet and when you stand up and when you sit down and whose hand you can shake and who. You got all these things that going into being royalty. And somebody like us coming from the outside in, we're gonna have to be taught. So you can imagine these young ladies, as they come in, it's going to take a year for them to learn what pleases and how to act in front of or before the king. Same with us. The Lord desires, through the power of his Holy Spirit, to get us to the point to where we know how to act as Christians, as believers. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse number 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, look what the Bible says. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and filthiness of the spirit. For what purpose? Perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. You see, brethren, we're in a purification process, if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to do so. Sometimes it's not pleasant, though. Sometimes it's not pleasant with what the Holy Spirit reveals to you and what he desires to purge out from your life. And I'll have to ask this. Are these things even evident in your life? Are you even in the purification process? Or do you even know what it means for the Holy Spirit to say, this is not good no more. Yeah, I let you come along with this, but now we're going to start purging this thing out of your life. I let you deal with that for the first couple years. We're fine. But now it's come time to where I'm wanting you to move on past this. Brethren, are you letting the Holy Spirit work in your life? Do you even know what I'm talking about there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7? Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. The God desires through the Holy Spirit to make us more holy than we were the day before. Now, if you go back to Esther, look what happens. She pleases him and she obtains kindness of him. So she comes into his presence, and Esther, I believe being taught by Mordecai, knows how to respect Hegai, and she does whatever she does. She pleases him, and she obtains kindness of him. And because of this pleasing and obtaining of kindness, the Bible says, and he speedily gave her her things for purification. Now you can imagine that there was probably some young ladies that came in there that had an attitude. I'm sure there was more than one. All right. And listen, I ain't very old. I'm only 46, but I've been around some women who have had attitudes before. You might not have been, but I know I have. Right? Yeah, I'll give you a little story real quick. So I was a state trooper one time. I pulled this young lady over, and she had a kid in the back seat. This was on a freeway. She had a kid in the back seat. He wasn't in the car, so he was just bouncing around. So I said, turn the lights on, pull her over. First thing she says to me as I come up to the window, how long is this going to take? I said immediately, oh, it's going to take a long time. Like, excuse me? How long is this going to take? She's like, this can't take very long. I got to get going, so do what you got to do. I said, oh, okay, we're going to be here for a while, honey. Give me your driver's license registration. She just had this major attitude. Now, think about this for a moment. What does that do to the one that's enforcing the law? It's not good. And sometimes we might act like that with God. How long is this going to take? And if that man or God has any type of authority about him, it's going to be like longer than you think now. You know what I did when I backed to that car? I looked for every ticket that I could write her. And I took my good old time calling things in. Because brethren, that's not how you, not because I wanted to be a jerk about it, but that's not how you treat authority. And I've had people before that I pull over. I pulled two cars over one time at the same time, and I didn't normally do that. First guy I went up to, went past the first guy, went up to the first car. He started trying to do some crazy handshake with me. Right, yeah. Don't you know I'm a grand poobah or whatever? I said, I don't care if you're grand poobah of Disney World. Give me your license. I'm not a Mason. All right? Give me a license. You definitely get a ticket. Go back to the second guy. Brethren, listen, you don't realize with me, I tried to do everything right because I was a Christian. And I tried to base everything like I was in their position. And sometimes I hated writing tickets because I knew sometimes people couldn't afford it, but I had to do what I had to do. But if you gave me an attitude, oh, you automatically get one. Go back to the second guy. He's like, sir, I just moved down here from Minnesota, and his car was packed. Didn't have a South Carolina plate. He said, I'm trying to find my way. I'm sorry. You're not getting a ticket. Yeah. So I went back to my car, and I started writing, and I said, you know what? I think I went back, and I went up to that first guy from Minnesota. I said, listen, just go get out of here. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, just get out of here. I'm dealing with him. Brethren, I guess what I'm saying is when we get attitudes, it's going to slow down our progress with trying to be what God desires for us to be. It's going to slow down that progression. You see, Esther did those things that pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And the Bible says, and he speedily gave her things for her purification. Now, you can imagine, I don't know how many young ladies he had there, but if he had just 100, and all of a sudden here comes Esther, and she's saying, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Come here, honey, you're going to the front of the line. What about me? Oh, you get to the back of the line. Right? Think about the position this man's in. All of these young girls are being brought to him, and he's got to get them ready for the king. And you got this one young lady comes in, and she's being polite, she's being kind, she's doing everything he says. She is going to be moved to the front. And that word preferred, it means that means you take somebody and you put them up to the front. And when she was preferred above all the other women, she was basically advanced from whatever place she was in up to the chief place of the house of the women. Because why? Because she did the things that pleased him. And she obtained kindness of him. And he's like, here you go, Esther. I'm giving everything you need to get this purification process in, getting quick, get done, so you can start on this year purification process. I'm moving you up above everybody else, even though you came in last. Does it make sense? So what's going to happen in your life is you might be moved up above everybody else because you're doing it. And people are like, I don't understand. God's doing things in their life. God, they're growing. Why? Well, maybe because they're doing the things that are pleasing the Holy Ghost. They're obtaining kindness of him, and he's speedily giving them what they need to learn to please the king. Brethren, God desires for us to grow. And I will say this, that if people say they've been saved for 30 or 40 years, they ought to be veterans. And they ought to be setting the example for the younger crowd. God expects more from the veterans than he does for the person just come out of boot camp. God help us today when some of the people that ought to be veterans, they're acting like they just came out of boot camp. It ought not to be that way, my friends. It ought not to be that way. But anyways, Esther does those things that pleases he guide. She obtains kindness of him, and speedily the things are given to her. Richard Cope Morgan said this. He says, the more empty the vessel of mercy, the more unhindered is the sanctifying work of the Spirit of grace. The more empty the vessel of mercy, the more unhindered is the sanctifying work of the Spirit of grace. You see, when we are willing to empty ourselves completely of pride and self, we shall be a vessel in which may be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, God desires for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, it's not charismatic. God, we have the ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but it takes empty vessels in order to be filled. Real quick, as we close out this evening, look at 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. In order to be filled, you've got to be emptied. 2 Kings chapter 4, look at verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 1. Look, the Bible says here, a story probably most of you are familiar with Elisha and this widow woman and her sons. 2 Kings 4, verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. One way to get full of the Holy Spirit of God is to spend some time away from everyone, closed up in your house or some quiet place. Look, she had to take that. The Bible says in verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door. Just you and your son, shut the door, get in there, and start pouring into those empty vessels and keep pouring till all is full. One way to get filled with the Holy Spirit of God is to get alone in your prayer closet and keep crying out to God till he fills you up. Verse number 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Be empty to be filled. Take your Bible and look at Ephesians chapter 5. We'll close with these verses here about being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Ephesians 5:18 says this, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But the Bible says, but be filled with the Spirit. Another way to be filled with the Spirit is speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and let's close up with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Being filled with the Spirit. Romans 8. And verse number 4. Romans 8 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says this, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded is death. You know, I think for someone who's saved and has the Holy Spirit of God within them and a desire to live and walk a carnal life, I believe before anything happens to them physically, things are going to start dying inside. They're going to start dying on the inside towards the things of God. For to be carnally minded is death. You know, I know Brother Joe and Sister Chris are sitting back there now, but it's often been said that people that start out in church and slowly but surely over time they move to the back seats, eventually they'll go out the back door. I hope they're not going to go out the back door, but you start seeing it in people. They start drifting off from coming to church, then they start drifting off here, and they start drifting off there, and then before you know it, they're not. And it just, you see this process slowly, they start removing from the things from what they once stood for and did. And I think it starts on the inside before it ever affects anything on the outside. You see, the Lord's given us the ability to walk in the Spirit. And when we walk in the Spirit and we're spiritually minded, the Bible says that's life and peace. Brethren, I speak for myself on this thing, but if there's times in my life where I start drifting away from having that life of Jesus Christ in me and that peace that comes from knowing Him, chances are I'm probably walking down a carnal path. And most often for me, that carnal path is that I'm thinking of me. It's not some great sin that I've fallen into. It's just that I'm thinking more of me than I am of others and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's carnal. And that leads to death of life and peace. You want to kill peace in your life, live for you and not for the Lord or others. And that peace will go real quick. I've said it before. If we're consumed with us and how we feel and what we think and it's all about us, we're going to lose that life and we're going to lose that peace that God desires for us to have through walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, those things that He desires for us will be given to us speedily. Just like Esther, she did those things that pleased Hegai, and she obtained kindness of him. And she was given speedily those things that were used to help her purify herself before she came into the presence of the King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Dear God, I pray you'd help all of us, myself, dear God, first and foremost, Lord. Lord, help me, dear God, not to be carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded. Lord, help us, dear God, to be willing to be purged. Lord, as it says there in 1 John 3:3, Lord, every man will purify himself even as you're pure. So Lord, help us to be willing to go through this purification process. Lord, sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes it's very difficult, dear God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, during those times, dear God, that you put us through these purification processes. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't quit. Lord, I pray we wouldn't just give up and just say, what's the use? But Lord, that we would go forward and let you burn off those things that need to be burnt off, dear God, that we'd be a vessel, Lord, that you can use for your glory and for your honor and for your praise. So, Lord, help us now tonight, dear God. Lord, just lead, God, and direct in everything that's said and done. And we'll give you the glory and honor for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.